We are up to Perek Mem, Pasuk Gimel. Before we go to Pasuk Gimel, there's one more idea I want to mention in Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis is an interesting Pasuk because it mentions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will mentions double punishment. Ki lacham yad Hashem kiflayim l'chol chatoseha. We have received from Hashem, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to, the time has come, Malot Tzva'ah, that we have received from Kodesh Baruch Hu double for all our sins. So we mentioned yesterday, how could it possibly be that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to give us, double for our sins. We know that Kodesh Baruch Hu is perfect. How can Kodesh Baruch Hu give us more punishment than what we deserve? So we discussed this yesterday. We discussed this briefly yesterday, but one idea I saw, a very beautiful idea I just saw last night from Rav David Cohn in his one of his Sfarim, El David, is that Chazal tell us that a person should have, halavai person's fear of Hashem should be at least equal to the fear of man. That was the bracha that Rebbe gave his Talmidim, that you should fear Hashem like you fear man. And the Talmidim said to Rebbe, is that it? That's all you ask of us. And he said to them, halavai, halavai. When a person sins, so the Gemara goes on to say, when a person sins, he makes believe as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not see. We had that in Yeshaya says to the people that you go into hiding and you do averos and you think no one's watching. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. Hashem sees the sins that you do in private. So when a person, now we know there's a halacha, a ganaf and a gazlan. If a person steals in the open, he pays what he stole. If a person steals in secret, in hiding, there's a knas. He pays double. Why kefal? Why does he pay double? So the Medrash tells us it's a knas because he thinks no one's watching, or I shouldn't say no one's watching, he is more afraid of man than he is afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to man, he hides. He does not want his fellow man to see him steal, so he goes into hiding. But with regard to Kodesh Baruch Hu, he is not concerned. He Hashem sees everything he does and doesn't prevent him from stealing. So every ganof is disgracing Hashem by giving more honor to man. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his fear that man will see him and not in his fear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see him. That's why he's punished with kefal, his punishment is double. That's what Yishai here is saying, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kilochem Yad Hashem Kiflayim L'chol Chatoseha. Hashem has punished you with kefal. Because in essence, all of our sins that we do to whoever we commit are in the category of a ganaf. Even when it's not a sin that relates to men, it's Avodah Zarah, Gila Raya, Shvich Hastamim. There's always this element that we sin in hiding, in secret. We're only afraid that our fellow man should not see us sin, but as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned, that doesn't bother us. We'll go in hiding and do terrible averos, bin adam lamakom, but in public, everything looks fine and good. And what's so fascinating is he's trying to define the essence of galus. Of the Chorban. We look through the Psukim. Chazal tells us, if you would come to society, you would come to the time of Yeshaya, and you would look in Yerushalayim, it would appear to be a wonderful society. Everything is fine. There are Rabbanim, there are Nevi'im, there appears to be a Mishpat, a system of law. Why is he all worked up? Why is Yeshaya all worked up about all of the sins? The answer is that it was all a facade. Is that even on the outside it looked good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's taking place in secret. HaKadosh Baruch Hu magnifies, Yeshaya super magnifies the minor imperfections, which will ultimately can develop and grow and can bring about a major Chorban. And that's what he's describing. So the essence of the sins of Klal Yisrael is they sin in secret. They're fakers, so to speak. On the outside, it all looks good, because in public, we all try to present ourselves as being good, fine people, but inside we know that there is a lot of room to there's a lot to work on.
What about some of the sins that Yeshaya mentioned? Example, stealing from the poor.
Yeah,
is that one of the biggest? The gluttony that they had.
So it does. There are different opinions. We mentioned this many times. There are different opinions. Every time Yeshaya mentions a sin, does that mean if you walk in the streets, there's gluttony, there's outright extortion and theft? Is that what? So some say yes. There are opinions that say yes. There was outright horrible things that are taking place in public. Others say no. On the surface, there's no. You wouldn't walk in the street and see people having a party until 3 o'clock in the morning. And robbing the poor and looting businesses and buildings, you wouldn't see that. But if you look very carefully, you'll see injustice. You will see people have a wrong set of values, and it comes out in small things, which the average person would just overlook. Yeshaya, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Yeshaya, is telling the people these are not small little things. Now it may be a small little thing, but these imperfections can develop, and it represents that your values are corrupt, and if it's not going to be taken care of now, over time, over generations, it will develop into horrible, terrible things which HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot tolerate. Yeah.
Very interesting. The thing that you just said about the Ganef and the Gazlan, in terms of one is a fear of man and one is a fear of God, maybe that could be the word in the Nachama is mentioned twice.
Nachamu Nacham, yes, twice.
One for the Averis between Adam and Lamako,
and one
between
Chavera.
Within
of Kefel, this double punishment. There's a very fascinating idea that Rabbi Cohen is saying.
No, I worked that in
the. Yeah. And the Nachama should be as well a double Nachama to correspond to the Kefel. Yes, absolutely. And the Bein Adam L'Chaver, Bein Adam L'Makom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing us doubly for both of these two types of sins. And now we're going to receive a double degree of Nechama. But this idea is not just, it represents the entire corruption that Yeshaya is hitting on. Why was there a Galus? Why was there a Churban? Yeshaya is saying, Hashem is saying, you have received double for all of your sins. That is a statement that defines the essence of the cause of galus, the cause of churban. You have more fear for man than you have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to your fellow friends, you put on a face and you do one thing, but deep down inside, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not watching and you can get away and do whatever you want. That's one. In such a type of sin, what is the punishment? The Torah says, for such a type of mindset of having more fear of man than having fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem punishes. The punishment is kefel. And over here he's telling us that through Golus, Hashem has punished us with kefel. Ki loka miyad Hashem kiflayim. Double the chol chato secha for all of our sins. Because the essence, the definition of sin that brought about the Churban was more fear of man than fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It should be the opposite, or at least should be equal. There should be more fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than fear of man. And that's why you deserve double, and you got double. Now Yeshaya is telling us there's going to be a geula, you're going to receive a comfort. And this comfort will be a double comfort, nachamu, nachamu ami, double comfort to correspond to this double punishment. Okay, this is a fascinating idea of this idea of kefa. He also explained, he has another idea, another interesting short idea, that the Chazal tell us that after the Chedor Egel, Moshe went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asked for forgiveness, where Hashem said, I forgot the exact expression, pokti pokatati. On the day that I will remember you. And that means that Hashem said, I'm not going to punish you now for the Chetor Egel, and I'll put it away, but in the event that the Jewish people sin in later generations and are deserving of punishment, every time I punish them, I will take a little bit of the punishment that they deserved for the Chetor Egel and bring it upon them at that point in time. So if you don't sin, you're safe, you're home free. The Chetor Egel will be forgiven. But if you do sin, if you do continue to sin, then not only will I punish you for the sins that you commit at that point in time, I will take some of the punishment that you were deserving for what happened in the Chedor Egel and bring it upon you at that point in time. That's the double. So the double is every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us for what we have done now, And the double is a little bit of what we deserve for the Chei Tor Egel. Now, how does that work? No one knows, because we're not living in that generation, so all of these things are very mysterious and mystical, but this is what Chazal say. It's a Pasek. That's the double, and that's what it says here, that the Golus is over. You have received punishment. You have received punishment for all of the sins they have committed throughout your history. Plus, at that point in time, I've given you throughout all the generations in little small amounts punishment for the Chet or Egel. That's the double, and therefore you have now finished. The Gula is ready to come. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. Okay, so those are two ideas that finish up the pasuk base. Now we go to pasuk Gimel. Kol Korei. Now we really begin. This really begins the words of Nechama. As we mentioned yesterday in Rashi, those two psukim, Aleph and Beis, was a hefsek, was a transition. A transition from words of Paranus, which basically refers to the first 39 chapters. The first 39, not really 39, because the number 36, 37, 38, 39 was a narrative. But basically the first beginning of the Sefer refers to Paranus. And now with Pasuk Gimel we begin Nechama. And in between the Paranus and Nechama we have these two words of transition of Nachamu. I'm instructing, Hashem says, I'm instructing the Nevi'im to give over words of comfort to my people. And what is now? What is the comfort? Here we go. Kol Korei. There is a voice that calls out. Period. Bamidbar. Panu Derech Hashem. Now most translations, Rav Schwab talks about this and others talk about this as well, most people will translate Kol Korei Bamidbar. There is a voice that is calling out in the desert. Is the word Bamidbar attached to the word Kol Korei? Or is the word Bamidbar part of the next expression, Bamidbar Panu Derech Hashem? So simply, it's according to the Trop, the Ta'amim, it's a Zokif Katon. It is a Zokif Gadol. So Zokif Gadol, Bamidbar is part of the word. It's really part of Panu Derech Hashem. Kol Korei is a Munach Zokif Katon, which is a period, which basically means that the statement is over. And now we begin a new statement. So if we follow the Ta'amim, which we usually do 99% of the time, we follow the Ta'amim. So the way we translate the pasuk is there is a voice that is calling out. The voice that's calling out is calling out, can very well be calling out in Yerushalayim itself. Can be calling out in Eretz Yisrael. Can be calling out in Golus, wherever the voice in the Golus, not in the desert. Golus, they're big cities, big major cities in Golus as well. Yecheskel received Nevuah in Golus. That was one of the unique. That was one of Yirmiyah. That was one of the unique. Yecheskel received his prophecy in Golus. That was one of the unique features of a prophecy of Yechezkel. How could it be that Nevuah was given over to a person outside of Eretz Yisrael? That was a chiddush, because generally speaking, after Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe received Nevuah in Mitzrayim, but after Moshe, they came into Eretz Yisrael, Nevuah pretty much was isolated. I mean, that's a simple assumption to Eretz Yisrael. Can it be that Kadosh Baruch Hu will inspire a person to have prophecy in Chutz Li'aretz? So Yechezkel, yeah. Yecheskel was an exception to the rule. So here when it says the Kol is calling out, it can very well be that it's calling out even in Golus, but not necessarily in the desert. In a city, in a place where people live. And what is the words of the what are these words? Bamidbar, in the desert, Panu Derech Hashem. In the desert, I want you to prepare to clear a road for Hashem. A place where you never thought Torah can thrive. They always refer to America as the Midbar. The Midbar, in a place you never thought, I want you, we're now going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael through the desert. In the desert, I want you to prepare a Derech Hashem. Yashru Barava, make a straight road, Yashru means to make straight, Barava, in the plains. The Arava is another word for desert. Okay, the parallels, the poetic symmetry in the Pesukim of Nevi'im, it's Yashu Barova is parallel to the Midbar. Make straight in the plain, Misila, a road, Leilo Kainu. And what's this road? Called Gei Yinase. Gei means a valley, a lowland. All the lowland shall be lifted high. The Cholhar, Vigiva, all the mountains, Vigiva and the plains, which are also highlands, Yishpalu shall be lowered. Vihoya he'akoiv lim yishar, a land that is crooked, a road that's crooked, shall be limisha, shall be straight. The Haruchasim means a mountain ridge, a set, a collection of mountains which go up and down. Look at the Mitzudas, see on Haruchasim means Inyan Gavus, height. It means the height of mount. It refers specifically. Look at Mrs. David. Baruch Hashem is Mekomos Hagvos. The high places shall be Levika, shall be lowered into a valley. In other words, we're going to create a highway, and it's not going to be easy because some parts of the land are very very low and some parts are very very high. We're going to have to cut off the high mounds. We're going to have to fill up the low valleys in order to make a straight, smooth, easy path to go from the desert all the way to Eretz Yisrael. And what's going to happen at that point in time? The Nigla Kavod Hashem, the honor of Hashem, will be revealed, the road called Basar Yacht of all flesh. Together we'll see Kipi Hashem Dibra, that is Hashem who is speaking. So it's a very beautiful possibly, very beautiful idea that the time of Mashiach, referring to the coming of Mashiach, is not going to happen. It's going to start in the desert. It's going to start in a place where the road that will lead us into the coming of Mashiach will begin in a place that is a desert. And this parallels Matan Torah. The Torah was given where? In the desert, Har Sinai. So just like Hashem gave us the Torah in the desert, Hashem revealed Himself to Klai Yisrael in the desert, and from there, Kadosh Baruch Hu took us into Eretz Yisrael. We went through the Midbar, and in the Midbar we had the Enani HaKavod, and the Enani HaKavod Chazal tell us would straighten the road. It's an exact parallel. The mountains were leveled, and the pits were filled, and the Enani HaKavod smoothed a perfectly clear road for the Bnei Yisrael to come into Eretz Yisrael. Of course, and it was the Lamasos, but the road was easy to travel. That was one of the miracles of the Anani HaKavod. Good morning, Abba Shane. That was the road, so this parallel is happening once again. History repeats itself. That is the theme of Yisrael and Mary Rosh Hashaya. History repeats itself. The same way we came to Eretz Yisrael the first time, we're going to come to Eretz Yisrael for the ultimate time, Lias Lava. And if we look at modern times, I mean, as I mentioned, like modern times today, you can't deny that in America, the Torah in America, it's a very, very great part in what's happening in Eretz Yisrael today. After the war, after World War II, Eretz Yisrael was very shaky. Came until the State of Israel. But we're a very great contribution to the success, the growth, and the development of Eretz Yisrael, of what's happening today, came from America. A lot of Gedolim who are living in Eretz Yisrael and developing Eretz Yisrael, they started off in Chutz Li'aretz, where, in a place that no one ever, go back even just 100 years, no one ever would have fathomed how much Torah and how much Yerushalayim would come out of America. America was the Midbar, the desert. Who would even dream? And that's what you see happening here in the Pasuk. That Hashem is saying, Kol Korei Bamidbar, in the Midbar, places no one would ever imagine. Panu Derech Hashem, clear road for Hashem, and through that road, through what is taking place, the influence, the Koach, will be a road to go all the way up to Eretz Yisrael, and there in Eretz Yisrael, the Nigla Kavod Hashem V'ro Kol Pasa Yachav, and there ultimately Kadosh Baruch Hu will reveal Himself, and all of flesh, the entire world together, will see Ki Pi Hashem Dibur, Hashem is speaking. Pasuk Vav Kol Oimer Kura. Yeshaya says, I hear a voice speaking to me. I hear voices in my head, and the voice says to me, Kira, Yeshaya, call out, say something, say something, say something, call Oimer Kira. And Yeshaya says, V'omar, Yeshaya responds, Mo'ekra, what do you want me to say? This is very strange. And Yeshaya was never shy until now. These first 39 psukim, Yeshaya always had what to say, he never held back. Here suddenly he says, Mo'ekra, what do you want me to say? So Yeshaya says, Hashem, here comes the response. The response is, Kol HaBosor Chotzir. Hashem says, I want you to say that all flesh is grass. V'chol chasto, and the kindness of flesh is nothing more than kitzitz hasadeh, like the flower of the field. Now what exactly does that mean? So the pasuk zayin, let's read one more pasuk, two more pasuk, and then we'll go back and explain. So all it said the pasuk above was is that all flesh is grass, chotzim is grass, and their kindness of the flesh is like a flower. Yodesh chotzir, and we're focusing on the weakness, the futility, the grass. Yodesh, the grass will ultimately dry. Novel hatzitz, and the flower will wither. That's the nature. Grass does not last very long. It doesn't have much strength. It's very delicate. Grass dries, flowers wither. Ki ruach Hashem nosh babo, when the wind of Hashem blows upon the grass and the flower, that's what happens. Ki means when. Ki ruach Hashem nosh babo, when the wind of Hashem blows on the flower and on the grass, it dries and withers. Ochein, and certainly, Chay means be'emes, with certainty. Chatzir ha'am, as we mentioned, pasuk vav, all flesh is nothing more than grass. Now this means, let's read one more pasuk. Pasuk has yavesh chatzir, the grass will dry. Novel tzitz, the flower will wither. Udvar elokeinu, but the words of Hashem, yakum lo'olam, will remain, will stand, will endure forever. Now, this, there are many interpretations of what these Sukkim are referring to. The simple interpretation is referring to Yimos HaMashiach. I'm referring to Milchemes Goyg U'Magoyg. And at that point in time, there's going to be a massive power in this world. A massive army. The army of Gog. Gog U'Magoyg, which we're not even clear exactly what I'm referring to. But they're going to be a force. And they're going to be an enormous threat to the stability of the world, and especially to Klal Yisrael. They're going to conquer the world. They are the basar that the pasuk is referring to in pasuk vav, and these people, Gog U'Magog, they're going to claim the sheker. Every sheker has at least some emes. A shtickle has something to give it life, and they're going to claim that we have given society, we have done great things for this world. We have built, the Gemara with Mar speaks about that the us love of the Rubasam will say that we built bridges and we built towers, and then we could say today we have established an economy and we have the technology is halfway of a fella today. What's going on? We and science and medical research. The contribution of the Umos HaOlam is, even though most of the contribution have come from Jews, even though that's a fact, all the great inventions did come from Jews, but putting that aside, the Umos HaOlam will say that we have accomplished incredible great things. So, and therefore we have a right to do what we want, and if we do not wish Klal Yisrael should have a part in this world, they will make their claim. Hashem says, you are wrong. All of you, this entire nation of Gog U'Magog, you're nothing more than grass. You're nothing. And your kindness, your accomplishments, it's good, it's not bad, but it's nothing to brag about. It's just like a flower. Beautiful flower. How long do flowers last? They don't last very long. As Pasuk says, when the wind blows on them, they disappear. It's nothing more than the chol chasdo kitzitz hasadeh, like a flower of the field, the flower very surely withers and disappears. So Hashem is telling them that Hashem who sees into the heart, Hashem who sees deeply into the person's heart, says, as the Gemara says, it's true you've done kindness, but it was not l'shem shamayim. It's true you've done good things, but you've done it for your own benefit. You have not done it with the intent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should receive honor, and His people, His chosen nation, shall use your accomplishments to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You've done it for your own self-interest, for your own benefit, and therefore you're not deserving of the full reward that you think you are, that you deserve. And that's really what these three psukim are telling us. That the Klal Yisrael do not be afraid of the power of this massive army, Goyg, because they're nothing more than grass, and don't be impressed with all of their accomplishments and their technology, and their contribution to society is nothing more than a flower. And don't worry, Hashem says, when I want, I'll just blow, and the grass will dry up, and the flower will wither, and the only one that will remain will be the one who Hashem chooses. If you look in the Mitzudos very quickly to see that how he expressed this idea, let's just run through some of the ideas. And let's see Pasuk Vav in the Mitzudos David the Omar Ki'ilu Hanavi Shoyal from the Hebrew Hamaskal the Omar Mo'ek Rav Kol Anavua Meshiva Kura Leimar. I want you to say the following words: Kol Habo Sorchot Sirot Zaloimar. Kol ho'amim, all of the nations, asher sheyavou im goig al Yerushalayim la'milchama, yibolu, they will wither like the yichmosh, two words which mean the same thing, they will wither and decay, kechatsir, like grass, v'chol chastoy, rotzolaymar, v'af al mish mehem sh'oseh chesed, even those nations that will claim that they have done kindness. As the Gemara said, we built bridges, we built towers. In today's times, there's no end where you can say, Chesed, Ma, we have done kindness. Lo yach shayv lima'uma, frightening. It will not be considered anything of significance. V'yiyye kitzitz hasadeh hakamush, maher. It will be nothing more than a flower of the field which withers quickly. Ki me'od heiril liyisrael, because the little good that they do does not compensate for the enormous harm and evil they have brought upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation. Ki me'od heirohu liyisrael v'yachriya hakaf. They have caused great harm to the Jewish people, and that evil has caused the scale, the scales to be tilted heavily in one direction. So they'll get reward. Hashem does not deny reward for any creature. They'll get what they deserve for their goodness. But it's not going to save them in the time of Mashiach. This is the way Rashi, the Mitzudos, learns. This is the way the Mitzudos learns. A very interesting interpretation. I'm sure there are many other interpretations, but we'll leave it. We'll leave it like this, because this is also pretty much, if I'm not mistaken, how Rashi, let's just see Rashi very quickly. Rashi, the Amar. Rash the Amaskal the Amar Ruchi Elov Moekra Vakol Meshiva Zoiskira Kol Abasar Chatzir Kol Hamagbim Tapach Gdulasam Vitia Kichatz. All of the exalted people, Soif Adam Lamos, people who are arrogant and haughty will die. Lefichach Im Amar Lasas Chesed Harayu Kitzitza Soda Asher Yimolov Yevosh Vein Lismo Cholav Shem Biyoda Lekayim Shema Yamos. Rashi is learning like the Mitzudos. I mean, the other way, Rashi is the Ikar. Rashi came way before, obviously. The Mitzudos is always, like we always say, it's very, very simple, very, very Pshat oriented. Rashi is always very Midrashic. Rashi here is saying a different interpretation, that man is full of Hadir. That's really what it's saying. Man makes promises, and he's born, and he gets his degrees, his PhD, his postdoctorate, and he comes and he makes a statement by his commencement exercise: I'm going to go out into the world, and I'm going to conquer the world. I'm going to accomplish incredible things. That's the nature of man. That's Hashem says man is a nothing. Man is nothing more than a blade of grass. All of his promises, the chesed, the kindness that he will accomplish, all of these big visions and speeches, inaugural addresses, and so on and so forth, it's all hot air. Because before man turns around, the blade of grass, Hashem's wind blows, the blade of grass withers, and the chesed, all of his promises, the beautiful flower means the beauty, withers, and it's gone. It's all a bunch of lies. The only thing that endures is Hashem. Hashem is the only thing. Ki ruach, the only thing. Yavesh chotzir pasuk ches. The chotzir withers. The grass withers. Novel hatzitz. The flower just flies away. Withers. The only thing that endures in this world is udvar elokeinu yakum le'olam, will remain forever. So we have two mahalchim here in the psukim, the mahalch of the Mitzudos, which we refer very specifically to the time of Mohammed Sagal Magog, and the Basar is a marshal for Goig and all the nations that accompany them. The flower is their accomplishments, their chesed, as we mentioned from the Gemara twice already. The Gemara, it's not going to save them on the Yom Hadin. Rashi's interpretation represents the mashal for man. Man is full of empty promises. Man does not have the power to fulfill his promise. Next, pasuk. Yeah, all over. These themes, these themes appear all over the place. Just, you know, different perspectives, different each. Yeah, and absolutely. Let's see another one. Pasuk. Pasuk tesal har gavoa aliloch. Mivas tzvirul pasuk. Mivas serasiyam. Who is mivas serasiyam? These are beautiful expressions. It refers to the prophets. Okay, you go look to the Tanakh. How do you define the prophets? When you start out in Sefer Shmuel, what is a prophet? A tzoyfe. A roye. Ki bayam ohem, the Navi was called a roye. Right? A roye. A seer. A tzoyfe. Tzoyfe also means to gaze, to look. Then we have all of a sudden we discover a new word later in Tanakh. A Navi. A prophet. Navi comes from the word niv sifosayim. The lips move. The utterance of the lips. Here we have a new term for a Navi. And the new term is the mivaseres tzion. The one that makes announcements. Navi, the lips murmur. Mivaser. Soros tovos. You want to hear good news. Good information. Good announcements. Mivaseres tzion, those that will declare statements of what's a good word for mivaseres? I'm missing the right word here. Mivaseres. The soros tovos. What's a good translation?
News.
What? No
good
more.
Herald tidings.
Good tidings.
Oh, tidings.
Okay. Tidings. Okay. Yeah. Good time. Mivaseres tzion. Harimu. So this is what it's in mivaseres tzion. Those that will reveal good tidings all about Zion, those are the prophets. Harimi v'koyach kolech, lift up with strength your voice. Mivaseres Yerushalayim. We always have that parallel throughout Tanakh. Zion and Yerushalayim. Ki mitzion teitze sarah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. These two always are parallel to each other. Harimi, lift up your voice. Al tirahi, do not be afraid. Imri la'ara Yehuda, speak to the city of Yehuda, the cities of Yehuda. Hine Elokeichem, behold, your God. The short means your God has appeared. Your God is here. Ba, in the Mitzvot Israel, these are written in the short term. You have to add some words. Hine Elokeichem, ba, has arrived. Hashem has arrived. That's the, you have to add that word really into the pasuk. So in this, yeah.
What is the use of the feminine here?
The use of the feminine. Mivaseres. Right. I don't know the answer. Maybe it refers to rachamim, because noshim rachmani osein. Right. We know that noshim of muar rachamim. Chulda. They went to chuld instead of going to the men, because they have. So maybe when we want to express the idea that enormous rachamim, that Hashem will have a klal yishol, we speak more in the feminine tone. I don't know. That's not so similar. I once saw a Dvar Torah. I don't know all the Mukaros. Who has more racham? Generally speaking, noshim rachmani osein. Right? That we have a tradition. Maybe we have more rachamim. When it comes to a child, who has more rachmanis on a child, a father or a mother? So you would say mother, right? Noshim rachmani osein. No. I don't have the details for you. I think of Rav Chaim Kanievsky is that a father has more rachamim on a son. Generally speaking, noshim rachmani osein. But when you want to focus on a father-son, mother-son relationship, a father has more. Kirachim of albanim, kein tirachim oleinu. Why don't we say kirachim aim albanim? So there, I don't know the details, but it's discussed by the major league commentaries. You have to talk to a psychologist also, see what they have to say their way to this idea. But there is such a thing, there is an approach. Okay, I'm not going to say anything. That a father has more rachmanis on a son than a mother. But here it's in the feminine, because generally speaking, Nashim Rachmanis
said. It could be what he says here, that Sion, the word Sion Yishlaim, they're feminine. The
City names are feminine.
Okay, I know that.
It could be also that the father has more rahmanis on the son as opposed to a daughter.
Okay, I mean, that's a chiddush. Okay,
you know, it's like
child's a child.
It's like.
So instead of saying the herald of Zion and the herald of Yerushalayim, you would be reading it that way: my herald Zion and my herald Yerushalayim.
Okay.
Zion and Yerushalayim, who are my heralds.
Okay, but here simply he's addressing the prophets. The prophets are called Mevaseret Zion, and they're called Mevaseret Yerushalayim, and Hashem is instructing them to lift up your voice and bring good tidings and tell them that what is the ultimate good news? The ultimate good news to tell the people of Yerushalayim, the O Yehuda, guess who's home? Guess who has arrived? Guess who's here for dinner? Hinei Elokeichem Ba. Your God has arrived. The Shechina has been restored. This is the ultimate good news that the prophets can tell the Jewish people. And with that, we will conclude.